Wonderful. We're talking about divine favor. Last week we spoke about what I call common favor, which I put into two categories. Universal favor, which is the favor that God shows to everyone. The Bible says he causes the rain to fall upon the righteous and upon the unrighteous. He causes the sun to also shine on the righteous and unrighteous. And that's all part of his favor. The favor that is sealed for us in the covenant he made with Noah and all creation. That the rainbow reminds us of that covenant. And that rainbow is supposed to really, as we see it, should encourage us to give God thanks for his mercies and his grace. And that out of his mercies and his grace, his favor, it ought to lead us into repentance, ought to lead us to a closer walk with him. Today I want to talk about special favor, sometimes called uncommon favor. So this is different from the two we talked about last week. This is special favor. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I'm going to pick up at verse 9. And this special favor is the one you see running through the scriptures so many times. Here Stephen is recounting things about the patriarchs. In Acts 7 and verse 9, he says, "And the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. And yet God was with him." Sounds like a contradiction. You get sold into slavery, and then you're saying, "God is with me." But that's what the word says. "And God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his household." So there we see Joseph being shown what I call special favor. So I'll share first some of the features, some of the things, what I call here, the nature of special favor. Some of the things that you see in this thing we call special favor. One, it's undeserved and unfair. Favor is not fair. It's unfair. So if you look at the situation with Joseph there, many of you know the story. He ended up in prison because Potiphar's wife told a lie on him. And he's been in prison for a while. Pharaoh gets his dreams, and no one could interpret them but Joseph. The cupbearer finally remembered Joseph. And so they sent for Joseph, and he interpreted the dream. And then Joseph said he needed to find someone who has wisdom to take care, to plan for the 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And this is where Stephen is now saying that God showed favor to Joseph in that Pharaoh took him from prison and made him governor, made him the next in line. And if you were an Egyptian serving Pharaoh, because you know, Pharaoh is ruling over Egypt, and therefore I'm sure he has people in charge of different things over Egypt. And these people, I'm going to assume they were men, because of the culture of the time, these people could say, "We understand that this young man was able to interpret the dream, but that's not fair. I've been here ruling over the economy over here on this side. I don't see why I should be overlooked for this task. Why are you giving it to this prisoner, to this foreigner? He's not even an Egyptian. How can you trust him?" It was not fair in their eyes. That Pharaoh should take somebody like that and overlook all of these other people who have been working for him and serving him faithfully for years. But that's how favor is. Favor is not fear. Favor is, as we know, it's God's grace, God's intervention in different circumstances. It's going to be important for us to realize that, because when God shows you and I favor, we need to realize it's not because we deserve it, and others will look on and say, "That's not fair." I remember an incident, well, a circumstance several years back. while we were still, my wife and I were still living in Jamaica, through certain divine encounters, a family from the US, I think they were from Pensacola, started coming to our church. The husband worked at the US Embassy, and I think the wife helped out from time to time. So they started coming to our church, and they started to get to know us, invited us over to their apartment, their house to, you know, fellowship. And in interacting with them at that time, they realized, shared with them, that I was thinking of going to seminary or to Bible college up here in the U.S. So the wife, her name is Diane, because she, her husband works at the embassy, she went in and spoke to people there. And the people there said, well, if he's thinking of that, he perhaps should apply for a visa. Didn't have a visa, had no reason to come to the States before. Perhaps should apply for a visa. And so she came back and told me that. I said, okay. Because she said, sometimes when you apply to these colleges, they might want you to come on up for an interview. And therefore, you need to have a visa. So if they call you for an interview, you can come for the interview quickly. But this woman, Diane, she took it upon herself that she wanted to insist that we get this visa. So she said to my wife and I, she's going to come and pick us up at our house one morning and take us to the U.S. Embassy to get the visa. Now, in those days, the U.S. Embassy was crowded. I mean, people would camp out there overnight. They'd get there like 2 o'clock in the morning because they only process application between 8 a.m. and like noon, and that's it for the day. And so there'd be lines of people out there. Some people made it a business. They would join the line and then sell their spot in the line to somebody who comes later on. It was a business for some people. It was just horrible. Anyway, this lady decided that she was going to take us to the embassy. So I had my job. I said to my boss that perhaps I'll be off for at least half a day because I'm going to go to the U.S. embassy. So she came and picked us up the morning and drove us to the embassy. And we got there like about, I don't know, 7:40. The embassy opens at 8. So once it got open, because once it opened the doors, the crowd was rushing. And the place was just crowded inside, and we just barely got through the door. And we're standing at the back. Now, in those days, the U.S. Marines used to be at the embassy. And so there was a Marine there who was controlling the line. And he happened to be someone that we had met at our house some time before that. He looked down and he saw us. And he called us up. So we don't know why he's calling us up. So my wife and I, we went up, perhaps think he's going to say hi to us, whatever. He calls us up and says, okay, you stand right here. And they had like 3 windows. You go to the window and somebody in there interviews you and asks you all sort of questions. So he calls us up and says, when the next window is open, you go next. And I saw all of these people, and I thought to myself, this is not fair. These people are camped out from 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Here I am just coming, and you're going to send me next. This is by this time about 8:15. I'm thinking, that's just not fair. But then dawned on me that that's what favor is. Favor is not fair. So the next window was opening, we went up. And of course, this family, the wife comes behind us. And the person who's doing the interview looks and sees her and says, hi, Diane. It was actually the woman that she had spoken to about us before. Gave them all our history and what we were planning to do. So the lady just asked us a couple of questions and said, come on back for your passport. Here's your receipt. Your visa is granted. That's favor. That's divine favor. So, of course, Diane took us back home and then I drove back to work. Got to work by about 8:45, 9 o'clock. And the guys at work did not believe me that I actually went to the embassy and got through my visa and was able to come back to work in about 45 minutes. They couldn't believe that. That's impossible. But that's what favor is. It's God intervening sometimes and turning things around. That when people look on it like, that's just not fair. That's favor. That's special favor. And God does this to many of us from time to time. And we need to recognize it, what's happening there when we're receiving divine favor. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's see. Starting at verse 28, most of you already know this story. An angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says here in verse 28, and coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at his statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David," etc. So here you have Mary, and the angel comes to her and is greeting. "Hail, favored one." And I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again because I'm getting older. That type of encounter with an angel, I would have been startled that I'm seeing an angel. I'd have been like, "Whoa, what on earth is this?" But that's not what happened to her. She was startled that the angel was saying to her, "Hail, favored one." She's meditating on the fact that she's favored, and I'm thinking, that's another slip by me, over my head. I've been looking at the angel like, "Whoa, who are you, dude?" So the angel comes, and his greeting to her was that, "You are the favored one," and she was perplexed, and the angel repeated it. "You have found favor with God," because God is about to do something supernatural in you and through you. And Mary, in her Magnificat, goes on to talk about the fact that the Lord has shown favor to her because of her humility. And so, one of the features of special favor is that God offers it oftentimes to those who are humble. When Joseph was in prison, he was humble. He wasn't the Joseph who was walking around with a pretty coat, sort of trying to show off on his brothers anymore. He was a Joseph who was now humble. It was like the lowest of lowest in the way in which people saw or people were classified in Egypt. You know, you have the Egyptians first, and then you have the foreigners, then you have those who are like, you know, slaves, and then now you have the prisoners. The lowest of the lowest. And God chose him from that position to become next in line to the king. When God showed Hannah favor and she conceived Samuel, she was the one again who declared that God has shown favor to her in her humble state. I put here another feature of this special favor that's presented to those who put their trust in God. We see the situation with Ruth. You know, there in Ruth, Naomi had been through a lot of stuff. She had lost her two sons. Ruth had lost her husband. And she left from her people, the Moabites, and now decided to covenant herself to Naomi and to come to live amongst the Jews. And there she was as a woman, again, in a very humble state, walking behind the other people who were trying to just collect food for their family. And in that humble state, God looked at Ruth and showed her favor. That's in Ruth chapter 2. I'll read it. Luke 2 verse 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowed to the ground, and said to him," that is to Boaz, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner and a woman? And so here in our humble state, God showed her favor. Elizabeth, when she was shown favor in Luke chapter 1, says God intervened because she couldn't get pregnant, and now she was pregnant. And so that pregnancy removed disgrace from her, the favor. She mentioned that through your favor, this grace has been moved for me. People thought and looked down on me, perhaps because of your state of being unfruitful, or your state of being, like for Joseph, a prisoner, or for Ruth, being a foreigner, having to walk behind these other ladies to try and get food. And the favor is shown on you that lifts you out of that state and removes shame and disgrace. Now, the problem for some of us is that we become victims of our own culture. And our culture, we like to emphasize that things must be fair. And so, when God shows us favor, it's hard for some of us to actually embrace the favor. You know, just like when we were at the embassy and the Marine said to go next, the thought was, perhaps I should help him to understand that we just came. You know, as if he doesn't know that. Perhaps I should say to him, no, look at all of these people. We'll stay at the back. Sometimes it becomes hard for us to accept and embrace God's favor. When our response should be like that of Mary. Jolene, can you come here, please? What do you? That's favor. When God shows a favor, what you need to do is just say, thank you, Lord. I receive it. That's what Mary did. When the Lord showed her favor, Mary said, let it be unto me according to your word. In other words, Lord, I receive it. I don't deserve it, but it's favor. You don't deserve it. It's unfair. Why are you choosing me of all the other women who are around? But it's favor. So her response was, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. Lord, I receive it and walk in it. It's not fear. I know it's not fear, but just receive it. It's not fear. It's favor. And so for many of us, we find we don't know how to receive God's favor because it just looks too good to be true. When God is looking for a heart that says, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor. So it has to be received. We can reject it, in other words. We can say, Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't want this. And God is not going to force it on you. He's just waiting for you to just say, thank you. Thank you. I receive it. Many of us, a favor comes and we walk away and leave it same place. Because like Jolene, we keep our mouths closed. We don't say thank you yet. So the Lord's like waiting for you to say thank you so you can receive it. Many times favor comes with responsibilities. And we'll see later on that God sometimes has a bigger picture. So it comes with responsibilities. When Joseph was shown favor, how many of you know he had a lot of responsibility coming with it? He didn't just come and sit beside Pharaoh every day and just don't do anything. He was the one made next in line with favor. Now he has some big responsibilities. God has taken you out of prison and put you way up there. Now here come some big responsibilities, young man. When Noah was shown favor, there was so much sin around, and the Bible says, but Noah found favor in the sight of God. That's Genesis 6. How many know what happened next? God said, build an ark. Yeah. Here comes responsibilities. Mary had other responsibilities now. Not only does she have to take care of herself for the next 9 months, but now she has a responsibility to raise this Son of God. Most of us will be like, no way, Lord. Me? And I know my own frailties. Find somebody else. That's too big of a responsibility. Her cousin Elizabeth, who said she also found favor, her son is John the Baptist. I suspect from perhaps the early teenage years, this young man was sort of strange. I suspect so. And sort of like a loner. And you can imagine this woman who has to now raise this strange son going out into the wilderness, doing all sort of stuff. You have that responsibility. And so many times when God shows us favor, there's a responsibility that comes attached with it. But the fact that he has shown us favor, it means that he's convinced that as we lean on him, we'll have what it takes to fulfill that responsibility. He's not giving us something for us to do by ourselves, but he's giving us something that we can do as we lean on him. He's going to lead us step by step to fulfill the responsibilities before us. And our favor that is shown to us then and the responsibilities is going to impact oftentimes the lives of others. Joseph's responsibility impacted all of Egypt and actually made a way for his own brothers and his father. It impacted others. Ruth, the favor that was shown to her, eventually she got married to Boaz. And as you know, she became into the line or the lineage of Jesus, of David, and others coming down. Impacted others. And obviously, we know with Mary, it impacts the rest of us, the world, because of how she was able to carry through that responsibility to bring her son up so that he could fulfill what the Father had in store for him. Now, one of the things about favor is that it does not mean that we will not have hardships. You see? Not because God show you favor means everything is just going to be smooth sailing after that. When angels spoke to Mary, I would have thought that here she is, being pregnant 9 months, carrying the Son of God. Clearly, there must be a place, must be a nice place in an inn for me to stay. I mean, am I not favored? Why wouldn't God give me a nice inn to stay in? Instead of going and stay in a cave with animals. She has to ride on that donkey. When she's 9 months pregnant, ladies tell me it's the most uncomfortable stage of pregnancy. The sense of smell is heightened, they tell me, when you're pregnant. So here you are with these animals, and you tell me that you're favored. So favor doesn't mean we won't go through hardships. So if we get that out of our mind, then it makes life a little easier. In fact, I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, starting at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he owned, he put in his charge. Look at that. He's shown favor, but he's still a slave. He still has to take orders from his master. He doesn't have anything for himself. He's still a slave, even though he's shown God's favor in that circumstance. Skip down to verse 19 of Genesis 39. Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying that this is what your slave did to me. His anger burned. So Joseph, his master, took him and put him into the jail and the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. So he's been shown favor, but he's in the midst of difficulties. He's still in prison. So favor doesn't mean that you and I get a pass out of difficulties. Not because God has intervened in some supernatural way, it doesn't mean that life is just going to be a smooth sailing now. By the way, is it still okay to say amen? I don't know. Things change overnight sometimes, you know, especially in Missouri. But sometimes what happens is that in the middle of hardships is when God shows you the favor.
Amen.
Yeah. Joseph is he's in prison, and that's hard. My little research into the Old Testament times tells me that prison back then was nothing compared to what we have today as prison. Our prison today was like a palace. You know, all prisoners can go out into the yard and they can lift weights and go into the library and study and all sort of stuff. Not like that in Egypt. So, and Joseph remained faithful to God, by the way, in the midst of all of that. By himself, no church, no internet, none of all these things that you and I have. And he still remained faithful to God, still hearing God and being able to flow in interpreting dreams. So he's still walking with God in the midst of that. But it's still hardship. He wants to get out. But Joseph, don't you see God showing you favor in prison? That doesn't mean you should stay in the prison. So it's in the middle of the hardship that God now comes and shows Joseph favor. We mentioned Ruth before. It was in the middle of her hardship that God showed her favor. So if you're going through some hard times, maybe one of the things you should be praying for is, Lord, show me favor. Lord, maybe you already showed me favor. Help me to see where the favor is at. And when we're walking in favor, we should not be surprised, I put here, that satanic opposition can arise. We should not be surprised if the enemy comes against us. Joseph was shown favor by Potiphar in his household as a slave. Things are going well. And here comes the devil. Here comes the devil through Potiphar's wife. Tells a lie upon the man of God. Send him to prison. And you and I would have been like, but Lord, if this young man is walking with you and you're showing him favor, I'm sure, Lord, you'd have stopped him from going to prison. That's how we reason here in the West, because, you know, we're used to comfort and we're used to things going the way we think it should go. But that's not how God works sometimes. And so the devil comes into the picture, and before you know it, Joseph is in prison for something that he didn't do. For something, in matter of fact, he was taking a stand against sin. He says, when the lady was trying to tempt him, he says, how could I do this thing and sin against God? That's what it says there in Genesis. Taking a stand against sin. So what this means, you know, for you and me, saints, is that Taking a stand against things that are wrong in our society doesn't mean you won't end up in prison. It doesn't mean that hardship won't come your way because of the stand. So you might as well, as I think it was Paul says, you might as well gird your mind for action. Prepare yourself for hardship. And know that sometimes, I mean, look at an early church, how many people lost their life. Stephen lost his life, stoned to death. In Nehemiah, when he was shown favor by the king, because Nehemiah prayed for favor and God showed him favor, he was, as many of you know, he was the cupbearer to the king, a responsible man, but he was concerned about Jerusalem. And the Bible says, you know, the king wanted to know what's wrong, why are you downcast? And Daniel prayed and said, Lord, let this king show me favor. And the king showed him favor. Said, okay, you can go. And in fact, Daniel went further. We'll talk about this next time. And asked not only to be allowed to go back, but for the king to supply them with lumber to help with the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the gates of Jerusalem. And as soon as they get there and start moving, Sanballat and Tobiah arise. The enemy raised them up to oppose the people who have been shown favor. So satanic oppression or opposition may arise. Now the scripture that I'm going to look at in Deuteronomy is one that's really been a blessing to me. Deuteronomy 33. Start at verse 16. Moses is blessing the children of Israel. And in verse 16, he says this concerning Joseph. And with the choicest things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush, let it come to the head of Joseph and to the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. As the firstborn of his ox, majesty is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall push the peoples all at once to the ends of the earth, and those are the 10,000 of Ephraim, and those are the thousands of Manasseh. So here Moses is blessing Joseph, and he's linking, as many of you know, the favor of God to the blessing of God. The favor of God is linked to the blessing of God. That's what happened in Numbers 6 when we talk about the Lord be gracious unto you. It really means God show you favor. The word gracious could be translated as favor. And so Moses now is praying for God to show Joseph favor, the blessing. But guess what? How many know that Joseph wasn't alive then? This is Moses. Joseph dead long before that. He's talking about the tribe, the children, the descendants of Joseph. You understand what I'm saying, saints? So there's a way in which the favor of God can pass down from the parents to the children. You see? And that to me is a world of a difference. All of these blessings that Moses have here in Deuteronomy 33 is not upon the original 12 because they are passed on. This is upon their descendants. That's why Ephraim and Manasseh is mentioned there. So he said, may the favor of the God that Moses encountered in the bush, may that favor of that God now be released upon the descendants upon Joseph. And so he's talking about in this blessing, may the horns of the, may he basically push, may God so use him to push the peoples, the unbelievers out of the way to the ends of the earth so that the children, Ephraim and Manasseh, can prosper. Move on down to verse 23 of Deuteronomy 33. It says, and of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and the full blessing of the Lord, take possession of the sea and the salt. And of Asher, he said, more blessed than sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. May your locks be like iron and bronze. According to your days, so shall your leisurely walk be. So he's linking the favor of God to the blessing of God being released upon the descendants. So what that means for you and me is that the way you bless your children should include the favor of God. That whatever favor God you show me, Lord, let it pass on through to my children. Oh, help us, Lord. Talking about special favor. It's part of God's blessing. Now, favor, as many of you know, is for a set time, or can be for a set time. When the children of Israel, it lasted for generations. But it says in back then Genesis in Exodus, and I guess here in Acts 7 also, it says in Acts 7 and verse 19, until there arose another king over Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. A king came along with that. I don't know who Joseph is. And suddenly the favor came to an end and there was oppression. In the psalmist says, the time for your favor has come. So it can last for a set time. And the favor of the Lord in our lives can increase. God talks about Jesus. That he grew in favor with God and with people. So we don't have to remain at one level of God's favor. We can grow in God's favor. We can increase in God's favor. And the writer of Proverbs says that the favor of the Lord is better than silver and gold. Because it opens doors and creates opportunities that silver and gold can't open nor create. So let's talk a little bit more about the bigger picture, because God has some purposes in mind when he shows us special favor. The Lord said to Israel when they were in bondage that he was going to show them special favor in bringing them out. And part of what he was trying to do was to increase their faith in him. Tell them to realize that not only does he understand what they've been through, but now he's going to show them favor. To increase their faith and confidence. In Nehemiah, God had in his mind to not only return the Israelites to Jerusalem, but to also rebuild it. And so when he showed Nehemiah favor, his greater purpose was for the walls to be rebuilt. He had something more in mind, not just showing Nehemiah favor. When he showed Mary favor, he had something more in mind. He had your salvation and my salvation in mind. So you had a greater purpose behind it all. Sometimes he shows favor to reward faithfulness. When Ruth asks Boaz, why have you shown me favor? Boaz says, I've heard about how you've taken care of your mother-in-law. I've heard about how you've left your people and come here. And so he showed her favor to reward her faithfulness. Many times God will show you and me favor as a way of encouraging us. To say, I've seen your faithfulness. Perhaps in the midst of some difficulties as Ruth was going through, I've seen your faithfulness. Some of you going through grief and you remain faithful to the Lord. The Lord will show you his favor. That's how he functions. With Israelites, he showed them favor also because he wanted to restore to them some of the stuff that was taken from them. With Joseph, I put here, he showed Joseph favor because he wanted to preserve the patriarchs. That's what Joseph said to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant this thing for good, so that I'll be here ahead of you to preserve you for this time. That's why God has shown me favor. So God had something else in mind when he took him from prison up to beside Pharaoh. God had a greater plan. You see, many times because people are short-sighted, they don't realize it. For the Israelites, for example, and again, I said we'll talk about this next time, but they took silver and gold from the Egyptians and left with it because God showed them favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. But they didn't realize that the silver and gold that God allowed them to have, God had a greater purpose in mind. They're going to have to build the ark and all sort of stuff down the road. They didn't realize that, and so when they didn't see Moses, they used the silver and gold to make idols. And so sometimes when God shows people favor, they use whatever success and that thing becomes an idol in their eyes. Rather than realize that the favor God has shown me or show you, God wants to extend his kingdom. God wants his purposes to be established. If God blesses your business, it's part of what he wants is to have more resources for the word of God to go forth. It's not for us to become so self-centered that all we can do is just delight in the things God has given us. Yes, he wants to delight in it, to enjoy it, but not for it to become a god. He wants to build his kingdom. I'm going to ask... Is it Becca who's supposed to come on back? Becca and Glenda. He wants to, through his favor that he shows us, should lead us to worship. When Mary was shown favor, she went into what? This magnificent way. She starts to worship the Lord. She starts to magnify the name of the Lord. Even before she actually brought forth the child, the word just came to her and she received it and she started to magnify the name of the Lord her God. Same thing that Hannah did. And so when God shows you and I favor, our response should always be to return to the Lord with thanksgiving, to magnify his name, to declare his goodness and his mercy. Amen. Sometimes part of the bigger picture that God has in mind is to inspire others to serve or to follow God. When others see the goodness of God, they realize God has been so good to you. He's probably speaking to me also. To inspire others to serve. When Nehemiah shared with the people back in Jerusalem how God had shown him favor through the king, the people were encouraged and saying, you know what? We will work with you to rebuild the wall. Because if God has shown you so much favor, means God has remembered us and God has some things in store. We want to be a part of it. Sometimes God shows us favor to demonstrate his love for you and for me. For us to be reminded of his love, of his kindness. Let us stand. And the final thing I have there is that sometimes God shows us favor because he wants to draw you and me into a place of intimacy with him. We talked about it last time. That his favor ought to lead to repentance. In Genesis 6, when God showed favor to Noah, God wanted to use that to draw other people to himself. Noah became a preacher of righteousness, making a way for not only his family, but He was making a way for any who would respond. God showed his love and his kindness by rescuing Noah. So God will show you and me special favor. Help us to realize that he still loves us and still cares for us, and he rewards us for our faithfulness, and that oftentimes he has some greater things in mind. You know, having gotten that visa, we didn't have to come up for any interviews. But we did come up and visit friends in California. And it's in visiting those friends that we heard about the Mennonite Brethren Biblical Seminary that I ended up going, attending and doing a degree there. God had some greater things in mind, ensuring us favor for us to get the visas. It wasn't just so I could walk around with a passport saying, hey, I have a visa. No, he had a greater plan and a greater purpose in mind. Maybe right now you're going through some stuff. And maybe, as I said earlier, if you would ask the Lord, he might show you where you're already seeing favor in the midst of your difficulties. Joseph was shown favor in the midst of being in prison. Maybe there's already favor there you're not seeing. One of the things I've oftentimes said to people, they're going through hardships, and I said to them, where can you see the grace of God in the midst of this? As you know, the Greek word for favor is charis, which means grace. It might be difficult. Maybe it's difficult on the job, but if you step back, God might show you where his hand of favor is still with you. Let's just bow our heads. Perhaps you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor Joe, I've drifted from the Lord and I want to recommit myself this morning. Will you pray with me? If that's you, just raise your hand so I can see it. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves this morning? Second thing I'm going to do is ask us. Many of you should know it from memory, the Aaronic blessing. Just to release the Aaronic blessing upon one another. May the grace of the Lord, may the Lord shine his face upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, or show you his favor. May the Lord deliver his peace. Let's just take a moment and just bless each other with that Aaronic blessing. Bless the person beside you. Just take a moment and do that, please. Releasing God's favor. And if you want to go further, release the favor that was shown to, that was declared upon Joseph's descendants. That you push the enemy out of the way, push people out of the way. Release the favor, the blessing shown or spoken over Asher. That you'll show, God will show you favor amongst your own family, and that your feet will be, life will be smooth in how you walk. I'm sure, like me, many of you can tell stories of God's favor. talk more about some of those next time. You have a song there for us, Becca?
I'm always amazed at the way the Lord brings things around. So the word was alone if you felt alone today. And if we listen to what Pastor Joe just laid out for us so beautifully, Joseph was alone in the prison. Hannah was alone when she was crying out to God. Moses was alone when he was on the mountain. If we will take that opportunity of alone and get alone with God, he will show you favor. We do not know and cannot predict what that favor looks like. And there will be trials. There will be struggles to get where we need to be. But if we will view alone as an opportunity rather than a reason to pull back from society and everything else, but an opportunity to be with God, that's when he can make all these things that you have just been spoken to about come to pass on your behalf.
If you need prayer for anything else, for healing, for different circumstances, there'll be people up here after we're finished to pray with you. Next time we'll share about how to function during a time of favor. How to function. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, that you are a God of favor. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us that may the God of favor who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, Lord, may you show us favor in every area and every aspect of our lives. May we push back the work of darkness in every area of our lives, Lord God. And may your favor surround us, Lord. May we see your favor left, right, and center. And so, Lord God, we give you thanks and we give you praise, O God, because of your goodness to us. We thank you, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. But, Lord God, that you will go with us. And that, Father God, you will make a way where there seems to be no way. And you'll lead and you will direct us to fulfill your plans and your purposes. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.